Good morning, everybody. Come on in. Time for church. Find a place to sit. It's good to have you, live streamers, wherever you're watching from. It's also good to have you. But it's a wonderful time to come to church because we get to worship Jesus together. Amen. It's something about the unity of our hearts together as we turn our eyes towards Him this morning, the author and the perfecter of our faith, and just give our hearts to Him today. Amen. So how about we stand up on our feet today? Let's kind of bring a focus in at this moment and just pray. Lord Jesus, we come together today to worship You. Well, it's time to worship isn't really about us, it's about You. And I pray that all that we do, it simply honors You, it glorifies You, that we are Your people. By Your grace and Your mercy, we stand here today, and Lord, I just pray that You have Your way. Holy Spirit, come. Be among us today. Move in our lives today, in our hearts today. You are most welcome here. Above all things, You are welcome here. And I pray, Lord, that as we go forth in our time together today, there's just something about this time, Lord, that just marks our hearts today. Lord, we appreciate the opportunity to be able to come together like this in worship. And I just ask today that You are here among us in a very powerful and present way. And we do this for Your name, in Your name, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's worship together today.
You conquered the grave. You free every captive and break every chain. Oh God, you have done great things. We dance in your freedom, awake and alive. Oh Jesus, our Savior, your name lifted high.
Part of living your life in faith is that you trust God. You're never going to live in faith in something you don't trust. See, faith is active belief, but it's trust too. But we trust God because we believe that He will never fail. You believe that? That no matter where you find yourself today, that God will not fail you. He is the same as He was before yesterday. He's the same as He was yesterday, today, and what He is today, He's going to be in the future. God does not change, therefore He does not fail. And the totality of my trust is in Him. Everything that I do because I trust. I trust what His Word says. Amen. I trust that the life that I'm living is headed somewhere. Amen. I trust that all the cares and the worries of this world are not the most important thing. Amen. I trust that there's a life to come when all things are made new. Amen. And we live by faith in these things because we trust. So how about this? I would encourage you today, in every area of your life, to learn to trust Him. You trust Him with your finances. You trust Him with your relationships. You trust Him with the leading, the direction of your life. You trust Him when He calls you to certain things. You trust Him when He asks certain things to be taken out of your life. That life of faith is such a trust in Him. It's just like we jumped right up into His lap and said, okay, just take me where I need to go. Because He is who He is. He's not just the author of life, but He's also the author and the perfecter of our faith as we live in Him. Amen. So let's just pray. Lord, we trust You today. We trust You in every part of who we are. We trust you so much we're willing to lose our life in order to gain life in you. We trust you that much. We trust you enough to stay on the narrow road. We trust you enough to pick up a cross daily and follow you. We trust you. That you've not just forgiven us, but you're going to show us what it means to live life set free. We trust you. And I pray, Lord, for anybody here in the house this morning that they're just struggling with completely trusting you in a certain way. I ask that they give it to you. And you reassure them that you are the God who has them. And peace in their hearts because of it. So we thank you today, Lord Jesus, for who you are, what you've done, what you're going to continue to do. We thank you for the future that we're headed toward. We thank you. For you are God and there is no other. So we praise you today. And we worship you today. How about you just speak some praise out from your own heart this morning? We worship you, Lord. We praise you. You are high above all things. Worthy of our worship. Worthy of our praise. Worthy of our lives. So wonderful, so true. You are the beginning, you are the end. And you sustain everything in between. I praise you today. I praise you with my voice. I praise you with my heart, my whole being. Lord, we will grow in our love for you. We will grow in our faithfulness as you are faithful. We praise you today. You're so good. You're so full of mercy and grace. Your love is deep and it's wide. Thank you. Oh, Jesus, we praise you. We praise you, Jesus. Oh, worthy. Worthy is your name. Worthy is your name. Worthy is your name. Oh, Jesus. Can we sing that chorus a couple more times before we close?
Trust in God, my Savior, the one who will never fail. He will never fail. I trust in God, my Savior.
Amen. Lord, we worship you today. We praise you. We're here for you today. Lord, I pray as we continue forward, your presence is with us. As a community of faith, Lord, that our lives are just bound up in you. In all that we do. In all that we do. You're worthy of our praise. In Jesus' name. And everybody says, amen. I have just for a couple more moments go greet somebody and say hi this morning, and we'll be back for announcements and offering in just a minute. But it's good to see you today. Well, good morning. We're going to go into taking up of our tithe and our offering this morning. So if you have some giving prepared, there's offering envelopes and chairs in front of you. If there's not one there, wave your hand around, and one of the ushers will help you out. Ushers also have prayer cards, and we'd love to join in faith with you in your prayer needs. So if you have one, ask for one of those, and then give it back to the ushers or give it to me, and we will certainly be praying over those things. How many know that we believe that God answers our prayers? Amen? So we are a praying church, and we believe so much in the power of prayer, not because of prayer itself, but because we believe in a powerful God who hears us. Amen? So if you have a prayer need, ask one of those prayer cards. And, of course, your giving is always so important to us as a church. We appreciate your faithfulness to that, and we believe that God, in all aspects of everything we do, we hope and we believe, we pray that God honors it, that everything we do involves good stewardship, and that then he is able to multiply above and beyond even what we think with what comes into the house. So let me pray over your tithe and offering. If you have something, you can bring it down to these baskets. Lord, I praise you today. You are worthy to be praised. And as we give today, it's another way of honoring you with the increase that has come into our lives, Lord, that we set aside first for you. And it's an honor to you because you are faithful, you are a provider, and Lord, that money will never rule our lives in any way. But it's subversive to us because you taught us that it doesn't have that kind of place to rule us. And where you've asked us, not just in the church, but as we live our lives, to be generous with the things that we have, Lord, that we will be generous people. And we thank you for changing us and growing us in that manner, in Jesus' name. And we all say, amen. So if you have something, you can bring it down today. And Margie's got a couple announcements for you.
Yes. Hello. Hi, everyone. Happy Sunday. It's going to be a hot one, right? It is, but that's okay. What? Oh, okay. Well, I didn't know. That's okay. So I just wanted to welcome everybody, and if you are new here, we have a visitor card if you'd like to fill it out. It's in they are in the pockets in front, are they? She's looking. I see her looking. And then if you'd like to know a little bit more about our church, we have these, what are they called, like brochures or what do they used to call these? Programs. Isn't that what they used to call them? Programs? Yeah, so we've got bulletins. There you go. That was the word I was looking for. So we've got this. Tells us a little bit more about the church if you're interested. But you can always talk to either Pastor Krylin or myself. And also, I wanted to remind you all, we have Next Steps coming up. And Next Steps is if you're interested in joining the church, becoming a member. We say member. We use that really lightly because we are more of a family. We're a family of faith. So if you're more interested in learning more about us, we have next steps coming up the first Wednesday in August. And if you have any questions, feel free to ask. You can always ask me.
Turn that off. All right. So again, Next Steps, first Wednesday in August. Also, don't forget, right after church today, we have a church picnic. So hopefully you're going to come out for that. It's at the Urbana Park. You're not allowed to pry or reserve the pavilion. So we stuck a piece of paper on one of them. So if we don't get that one, we'll find one. But the one by the volleyball courts is where we're going to try first. So right after church today, come on over there. Like Margo said, it's supposed to be hot. It is going to be hot, but we're going to have a good time. So we provided the fried chicken, water. If you bring some side dishes to share, that'd be great. But right after church, we'll head over there today and have a good time. Don't forget that this Wednesday, we're doing something really different. So Wednesday night, we're going to do our entire church service right out there in the front yard in the grass. So if you come Wednesday night, bring a folding chair, a lawn chair, bring a blanket to sit on. We'll do some acoustic worship. There'll be a message out there. We'll break out the fire pit for some hot dogs and s'mores. And then because whatever happened didn't happen in VBS, we're going to break the slip and slide out for the kids. So if you got a little one, if they come and something, they can do that in with a towel and all that. So that's Wednesday night. It'll be a little fun. We'll just be out in our community a little bit with our service. And also, don't forget, August,
always kicks back off our next semester of small groups. Monday night church-wide prayer starts back up. So watch for details starting in the next couple weeks. We're going to start giving more details about those things. But we're excited about what's coming up in August. And, of course, after August is my favorite time because the BER month starts September, October, November, December. So anyway, I'm hoping we're kind of headed out of summer a little bit. That's just me. We'll be at the picnic today. It'll be like 89 degrees, and I'll be thinking, my goodness, I can't wait till fall. But if you love the summer, come to the picnic. It weather's for you today, all right? So we'll have a good time there. So hopefully see you there. All right, if you got your Bibles, 1 Corinthians chapter 9. And while you're turning there, a couple comments. As you can see, a lot of folks are out vacationing. Please be praying for them as they're doing their traveling and getting their rest in. That's a good thing to do. But also, in light of the events yesterday at the rally that Donald Trump was holding, as everybody knows now, there were some shots fired and whatever. When these things happen, there's always this, a lot of stuff being, hey, we need to be praying. Yes, but can I just say something? Don't wait for stuff like this to happen to start praying. Amen. You should be praying for our nation prior to this stuff. Right? That I think with our prayers, we often are too responsive. You should, we always tell you here, pray first. But praying first isn't just reactionary. We're praying before stuff. You should be praying for our nation before things like this crop up. You should be praying for our governmental leaders before things like this happen, right? And prayer is not reactionary. Prayer is proactive. So we say pray first and pray first. And so you're praying for things before you have to respond to things. And if you need to respond with prayer, amen. But let's be people of prayer regardless, amen? I just wanted to put that in your heart. And we believe that God is going to be who he is in all of these things. Amen? And we believe that he is going to, again, be who he is, but be involved in such a way that and by the way, the biggest thing, whatever you're going to do with your politics, whatever, but my pray first is that a revival sweeps our nation. And that can happen no matter who's in the White House. Can I just say that? I'm interested in people being saved and coming to know Jesus. All that other stuff, I pray for that too and participate in that. But my primary goal is to see people come to know Jesus. Amen? So let's pray for all of that and be involved in all of that. Not just in what you're going to do in your voting this November. Amen. Do that. But what are you doing with the gospel of Jesus, too? That supersedes the whole thing. Amen? I mean, what I'm getting at. Huh? Know what I'm saying? Okay. All right. 1 Corinthians 9, 24. Let's read this. Paul writing here. He says, do you not know that in a race all the runners run? But only one receives the prize. So run that you may obtain it. You see, every athlete exercises self-control in all things. And they do it to receive a perishable wreath. But we an imperishable. In other words, earthly things. We strive for those things. But really what it needs to be about is what is imperishable. Heavenly things. So Paul says, I do not run aimlessly. I do not box as one beating the air, but I discipline my body and keep it under control, lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified. You realize I could preach a whole lot of stuff and walk out of here and be a sinner. You know that? I could stand up here and say all this stuff that I'm about to say today and turn around and leave and be a hypocrite. And Paul's saying, I don't want to be that way. The Christian faith involves growth. You can't get away from it. Salvation is a status in Jesus. But salvation puts you on this road that's called discipleship. And then you choose whether or not you're going to walk this discipleship out. In other words, Paul says, look, everybody's running the race, okay, but why don't you run it in such a way that you're going to obtain the prize? Don't be half-hearted. Don't be lackadaisical. Don't be lazy. And part of running the race will involve growth in your life. So I told you this a lot, many times. I was a high school track coach for 12 or 13 years. It's amazing the number of kids who sign up for track that don't want to run. Blow your mind. Coach, what are we going to do today? I don't know, man. It's track. What do you think we're going to do? Sit around and sing songs? Break out the fire pit? We're going to run. I mean, oh, really? We got to run today? Yeah. What do you think we're going to do? Well, I'm a thrower. Okay, I understand you're a shot putter, but you're still going to run a little bit anyways, okay? I understand that part. It's amazing. The Christian life is the same way. I want to be a Christian. I signed up for the team, but I don't know if I want to run the race afterwards. It's the discipline of running the race. So we're in a little bit of a series on things that hinder growth in your life. Last week we talked about grumbling. Today I want to talk to you about what is called the status quo. Let's just say this. Status quo is the enemy of your future. Settling for where you are at spiritually and simply staying there is the enemy of your future. So in other words, status quo is simply standing still and being comfortable and staying where you are. And when you live in the status quo, certainly you will not be moving forward into the potential that's in front of you. I would actually say this, the people that are status quo with their spiritual life, they're not just sitting where they're at, but they have a tendency to be falling backwards too. You see, you can be status quo in your marriage. That's not good. You can be status quo in callings in life. That's not good. You can be status quo in a lot of things, just standing where you're at and not moving forward, not doing things to grow. And certainly you can be in the status quo in your life with Jesus. But by the way, you can be in status quo with sin and sit in sin and be comfortable with a certain sin and not work to move forward out of it with the power and the help of the Holy Spirit. You can be status quo with a certain sin in your life. See, you can be status quo in wrong attitude. There's a lot of things you can be status quo in, but here's what happens. In a way, in status quo, standing still, you sort of let things go, and then stagnancy sets in. Stagnant things are not good, nor are they healthy. So if you've ever spent any time outdoors, here's a lesson to know. If you're outdoors and you're thirsty and for some reason you don't have anything to drink, you never get a drink from water that's stagnant and standing still. Your best bet, which may not be the best bet, but your best bet is to find moving water. It's always more healthy than standing stagnant water. Have you ever been out somewhere and you see this little marshy little pond thing? It's just sitting there. It's got green stuff growing all over it. It just looks murky and dirty. Don't drink that stuff. The animals have been in there doing their business. Don't drink out of that. Find some moving water. That's your best bet. Stagnancy is not healthy, and we can get that way in our lives. The status quo is standing still. It's a hindrance to growth. See, the opposite of being stagnant and stale is vibrant and growing in life. So status quo is not moving forward. See, Paul says, look, Run the race in such a way to get the prize. That's forward moving. And I told this story before, but I always think of it when I talk about this stuff. So when I was coaching track, of course, being over everything that was happening, not just sprints, but distance, but I specifically worked with the sprints and jumps, okay? And sometimes when kids sign up for track, they don't know what to do. I'm just here, put me in something, right? So there was a young lady who, she was there, she didn't want to do anything, so we just thought the best things for you is the shortest step, we're putting you in sprints, right? So the very first time she ran the 100-meter dash, she's running down the track, and she was moving so slow. This is a sprint. So slow. I'm standing on the fence, you know, watching her. And she ran by me. She was moving so slow. She just looked at me when she was going by. You're not a sprinter. Okay, we're going to move you to something else. But when it comes to running the race, we've got to do it in a way that I want the prize that awaits. It involves some discipline and purposeful action in your life that partners with the work of God that only He can do to get there. In Paul's way of writing this, guess what? Whether or not you like it, you're all on the track team because everybody's got to run the race. Right? So since you've claimed the Christian faith, why not run it in the way to get the prize? And Paul goes on to talk about discipline. He works with himself to move forward in a way that you're not just standing still, getting stagnant, getting stale, find yourself in the status quo. Because that status quo is the enemy of your future. Kelly, you have that first slide for me, please, if you'll throw it up. We naturally stay in status quo unless we are purposeful to move forward. You will stay just where you are unless you are purposeful to move forward. If I sat down here and didn't move, if you came back Wednesday night, I'd still be sitting here. Isn't that right? There needed to be a purposeful action of my life to get up and go do something, or else I would just stay here. If you don't purposely do things to move, you will stay in the status quo. Now, by the way, sometimes we allow ourselves to sit there simply because we do. Sometimes we something happens in life, a circumstance in life, we kind of get knocked off course, and we end up in a spot that we just kind of stay there. But the thing about status quo is maybe we stay there because we're comfortable and we don't want to be stretched. Maybe we stay there because we become complacent and lackadaisical. Never challenging ourselves. There's no zeal. There's no passion. Romans chapter 12 and verse 11, if you'll turn there. Romans chapter 12 and verse 11. Something simply Paul writes here. He says, do not be slothful, lazy in zeal, but be fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. You have to learn how to stir up the zeal inside of you so you don't become lazy and lackadaisical. Now, zeal needs boundaries or it's out of control, but zeal also needs discipline. Discipline also needs zeal. That we are interested, we are about the business of the Lord. See, when you lack zeal, you stay in the status quo. You're neither hot nor cold. You often become indifferent. When you're in the status quo, you often let things slide that you normally wouldn't let slide. Sometimes it has to do with sin. People that live in the status quo are often excuse-filled as why they're there. And they're often jealous of other people who are actually moving forward, and it's noticeable. Again, we stay in the status quo unless we are purposeful to move forward. So the Christian life is very purposeful. The Christian life takes initiative. It takes discipline. This is living by faith. In other words, that we follow Jesus with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. We grow in our love for him. It's just not sitting there. You see, Paul used terminology like this quite a bit. We'll read this one in just a second. But Paul talked about pressing on. That's moving forward. Again, about running the race marked out for you. That's moving forward. Paul talked about moving on from the elementary teachings of the faith in the book where Hebrews writes that. It's about moving forward. See, Paul was about saying things like growing in fruit. That's moving forward. He talked about clothing yourself in the characteristics of the Christian faith. That's moving forward. All of these kind of things paint a picture of not staying where you are, but an activity and an action of your life to keep going. See, moving forward is growth. And the growth in the Christian faith is multifaceted. It goes together, growing in knowledge, growing in the characteristics of things like the fruit of the Spirit. All these things go hand in hand, but they all paint a picture of not staying where you are in stagnancy and becoming stale. Philippians chapter 3. I had one kid one time running track. We're out doing some conditioning. We had him on some 400-meter ladders. If you know a ladder, you'll start. You'll run some 50s, some 100s, some 200s. You'll run some 400s, and you'll come back down and do some 200s, 1s, and 50s. We're in the middle of the 400 part of the ladder, which is one full lap around the track. And he was coming around back past the 200 mark down to the last. And I was standing there, and he's running by me. He said, "Coach, I think I'm going to die." I said, "Keep running. I know CPR. I'll bring you back. Keep going." I think we have to remember God knows CPR. He's got his first aid training. He'll bring you back. Keep going. That's sort of thing to remember. He's with you. He didn't leave you. He does, in all the things that he calls you to, and Paul using the languages that he does in these things, he's right there with you. You can do this. You're not alone. Paul writes in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 12. I mentioned this, but he says this. "Not that I've already obtained this, or I'm already perfect, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own." This is why I do it. "Brothers, I do not consider that I've made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on to the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. And let those of us who are mature think this way. And if anything in you should think otherwise, God will reveal that also to you. Only let us hold true to what we have attained." In other words, we don't want to slide back. We stay true to where we're at today, but we continue to press forward. This is what we're called to do. Again, initiative, purpose-filled way of living. You got to see, in him, we are headed somewhere. God has a plan, and God is working the plan. In other words, the promised land, the true promised land, eternal life is our goal. We are headed there. But in this big picture of headed towards something, we in our own life should be headed towards something too. But here's what I know, and this is my discovery after pastoring for as long as I have. Your forward motion and growth in Jesus is never just perfectly like this. I've never met anybody yet. Has to kind of go like this. It's sometimes in ebbs and flows. Sometimes it's some ups and downs. Sometimes it's learning lessons. Sometimes it is falling down and bloodying your knees a little bit. But the thing about all that is, if we're purposeful in what we are doing, there will be an overall big picture moving forward in some way. And in that, there is a subversive growth of this new creation being worked out in our lives, your salvation. And Paul says, pressing on and forgetting what's behind. If you are mature, you'll see it this way. And if you don't get it, maybe God will show you that also. There is a mature look to say, I am not satisfied to stay where I'm at. Well, I'm saved, that's good enough. No. We press on. We grow. We allow the work of the Holy Spirit to be active. We are purposeful in the things that we are doing. Straining towards what's ahead. Let me tell you something. Back to what we were saying during worship. I would not strain towards something that I do not believe in. I believe in the life to come. Now again, I'm not saying any of this that you have to earn your salvation. That's not it. But those who are saved will have a mature view that we are to grow. It's an outworking of the fact that we are saved. And I want to work in my life in such a way that I'm headed towards this eternal life that's there for me. Paul writes that somehow I'd attain the resurrection of the dead. Yes, that's what I want. I believe. I believe fully in this life to come, so much that I want to grow, and I want to become, and I want to change. So I wrote down four questions that we're going to put up on the screen in a minute. Four questions that if you're a note taker, write these down, but I want you to think about these things. So Kelly, that first slide, here's the first one. Question number one, are you satisfied in where you are at right here? And I hope the answer is no. I hope it's no. I hope the full desire of your heart is to know him more than you know him today, to know him more. Remember, what is the thrust of salvation? Relationship. We have a God who is so deep and he's so wide. He is greater than anything that we could comprehend at the end of the day. I want to know him more. That's relationship. So are you satisfied with where you're at? I hope not. I hope you're not satisfied with just being saved. I hope what you want is a growing, thriving relationship with God. And what that means then, to head that way. So are you satisfied with where you are at? And second thing that plays into that is, what do you desire? Again, my desire is him. How many know that God blesses you with a lot of stuff? Forgiveness. And that's wonderful, but I want him. I want him more than anything else. I want to drive deeper into a relationship with him that is not just head knowledge, but it's right here. That the scriptures sit deep within me, not just because I know the Bible, but because in turn, I know him. So what is your desire? See, here's the thing. You chase the desires of your heart. Is that right? The first time I saw my wife, she started to become a desire of my heart. So So what did I do? I went out of my way purposefully to kind of get around her a little more, get to know her name, spend time with her. And on a whole other end, a whole other thing, almost every night I go into the freezer and I crack and see if there's ice cream in there. You know why? I desire more ice cream. I purposely get up off the couch, pull the freezer, I hope there's some in there. You will do the things necessary for what you desire. And it permeates every part of who you are, relationally, things you want, whatever. You go after what you desire. If you desire him more than anything you can gain in this world, if you desire him, you'll have forward motion in your life. Amen? So those first two questions, are you satisfied? I hope you're not, but what do you desire? All right, Kelly, next slide. Here's the third thing. What needs changed in your life? You may be aware of some things that needs to change. Maybe the conviction of the Holy Spirit's been speaking to you. See, when you realize there's change needed, Paul says, I haven't attained it yet. Therefore, some things need to happen. Some things need to change. I'm going to press on. When you're aware of things that need to be changed and you're involved in the activity of the Holy Spirit in your life to deal with it, you will move forward because there'll be growth. That fruit of sin will be replaced by the fruit of something of God. Change will happen. You'll start to grow new things. That's forward growth. So if you realize there's change needed and you begin to be purposeful about those things, it will help break you out of status quo. And of course, the last thing, what are you purposely doing? In other words, what kind of rhythm of life do you have in the things that cause growth? What kind of discipline do you bring into your life to pretty much build a habitation for God to be there and have his way with you? The Christian life is purposeful. People of prayer. People of reading the scriptures. People who attend a body of believers to be encouraged together. Listening to conviction in your life. When the Holy Spirit says, no, you don't. It's purposeful. What are you doing purposely with the initiative to cause growth in your life? Laziness and those things will cause status quo in your life. So we have to be honest with ourselves with these kind of questions. Because God has an intention for you. He's taking you somewhere. When Jesus said, follow me, literally we follow him. That's activity, it's movement. He's taking you somewhere. Then he makes you into something. First and foremost, fishers of men. But he's constantly changing and creating life in you. This working out of salvation. For in this we are called. So, I want to see people who are not satisfied with where you are at today. It doesn't mean a lack of contentment in life. It doesn't mean those things. But I just simply have a desire. Put it this way, burning within us for the things of God more than anything else. Amen? And I hope that's the desire of your heart. If not, stir yourself up. If not, be honest with yourself. What is the most important thing that you can have in life today? Be honest. And it's going to center in right here. I desire and want him. When your desires and everything is all over the place, you're not going to be doing what's necessary to grow. Amen? Amen. Okay. We're gonna close out our time today with communion. If the ushers will come and move the tables over for me, I'd appreciate it. And so I said, you know, pastoring people, I know I shared this before, it's like, it's a lot of encouragement. It's a lot of it's thinking, how can we build one another up and encourage one another? But every once in a while, you can just see in somebody's heart, they're just in the status quo. And you just want to kind of grab a hold of them and shake them just a little bit. Wake up, wake up. Don't stay here. Whatever caused you to be this way, don't stay here. Amen. Stir yourself up and be after him. So the table of the Lord this morning, we have the bread and the cup representative of the body and the blood of Jesus and the work that he's done for us on the cross. We have a life in him that we can grow and become, starting in our salvation because of the final work of Jesus on the cross for us. Amen. So you don't have to this morning. If you don't want to, it's okay. But if you desire to partake of communion with us in just a moment, I ask if you'll just come forward, make your way to the aisle, and grab the elements, take them back to your seat. We'll partake in just a minute. But if that's your desire this morning, you can come forward. As we believe this is the table of the Lord, I believe the Lord meets us in these moments. Whenever we do something like communion, one of the sacraments, these are not like throwaway moments we just do because that's what the church does. I believe the Lord meets us here. Paul writes that we should examine ourselves in these kind of moments. Now, I would ask you this morning, if you're here and there's standing sin in your life, to repent of it. To ask for forgiveness. To allow change to work its way in your life. Not to stay where you are in that. So in this moment, before we partake of the elements together, I would ask you to do that. Lord Jesus, hear us. Forgive us our sins. And we know, Lord, when we ask these things, that you're so faithful to respond and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. I thank you for that. New life, abundant life, life in you. I thank you for that. For that's what this is all about, Lord. What it's all about. That you loved us so much that you come die for us. In our place, the fulfillment of all the sacrificial system found in you, we thank you for that. And we stand in your work, and we stand in that forgiveness you offer. Not to take it for granted. Not to take it for granted in any way. You know, we're about ready to go to a church picnic and fellowship over food together. We're going to break bread over at the park. Break chicken and desserts, whatever else you brought. Fellowship of a family of faith, but you realize this is fellowship also because together we are in Him. A family of faith in Him. A family of faith joined together by the work of Jesus, that we are His church and He is our head. Amen. And we partake this together and reconfirm what He has done in our lives. We remember and do not forget. Broken body in our place, crucified, blood shed for our sins. We remember. So we thank You for willingly going to the cross for us. We thank You for enduring what You did for us. We thank You that bodily You endured the wage of sin, which is death. We thank You for that. For no greater love can be shown than one that lays down his life for others. And we thank You for doing that for each one of us. We partake of the bread together in remembrance of Your bodily death on the cross. Let's partake together. And with Your crucifixion, Your blood was shed. Blood of life. Blood that washes away all of our sins. Lord, the work that You have done is so incredible and so amazing that we can just come to You and believe and have faith and ask and You respond. That we are forgiven of everything behind us, we're justified. And that we're empowered to live forward sanctified. I thank You for that. Your blood was shed for each one of us. The blood of a new covenant. And we partake of the cup together in remembrance of that. Partake together. And as we close this morning, I just want you to worship Him for a minute. We praise You, Jesus, and we worship You. You are high above, worthy of all praise. Wonderful. True, our Savior, thank You for saving us. Lord, help us go forward, help us live life as You've called us. Wisdom, we need it. Strength, we need it. A clear voice of the Holy Spirit in our lives, we need it to keep in step with Him. Lord, help us in that. And we thank You for that in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, we all say, amen, amen. It's good to have you today. I'd love for you to come out to the church picnic, so come on out. We'd love to fellowship for a little bit. But if you're going to head over there, we're going to change and stuff and head that way. We'll see you there. If not, Wednesday night, don't forget outside service. But invite somebody to church next week. Have a blessed week.